Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody today. Our message today is going to be taken from Acts 2, verse 37. The older I get, and that's hope I keep getting older, but the older I get, I tend to chew on verses a little bit more than I used to just read something for the sake of reading it, and I guess I'd take something in, but I'm looking at things a little bit differently now at my age. And I was looking at Acts 2:37 recently and just thinking about how much there is there in that question, what shall we do? And it's a question that those of us that have become Christians, we've all asked that very question ourselves in our lives. What shall we do when we realize the situation we're in with sin in our lives? What shall we do? And it's that same question that was asked on the day of Pentecost. And the result was 3,000 were saved. But in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They, when they heard this, who were they? Going back to verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Thousands of people had gathered in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, a very important festival for the Jews. They'd come from all over the surrounding area, the whole Mediterranean region. In fact, many of them were still there from just 50 days earlier, Passover. The Jewish festival when Jesus had been crucified. And so this is who they were. Thousands were in Jerusalem to make this pilgrimage for the day of Pentecost. When they heard this, what did they hear? What was it that they heard? Earlier in chapter 2, we see that Peter is giving them this message that this Savior, who they had been looking for, He was very prevalent in their Jewish culture, that a Savior was coming. They were looking forward to it. And it had been prophesied. Peter brought up prophecies reminding them of this big event. And then he goes on to tell them that this Savior, Jesus, they had crucified. They were partly responsible for the crucifixion of this Savior that they were very much aware of in prophecy. They killed him, the Son of God. Verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst." You saw them. Many of you saw these things. "As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands have crucified and put to death. And then in verse 36, which I'm glad Devin read in the scripture reading, says, therefore, let all the house of Israel. This is how Peter brings his message, his sermon, to a close. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Wow. It only goes to say they were cut to the heart. When they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. I don't know if you have ever heard information like that, that literally just devastates you, that brings you to your knees. It's like a gut punch. That you're cut to the heart. It might be something medical. It may be the loss of somebody. It may be something that you did that you found out severely broke somebody's heart. And you did it. Somebody that you loved and you said something, did something that had great consequences. I've been there. To have become aware that I was responsible for something with devastating consequences. And I've been cut to the heart. They realized what they had done. Peter made no bones about it. He pulled no punches in this. This Savior that our culture has been looking for. It has been prophesied. It is in our holy scriptures. Was Jesus. And you were responsible for putting him to his death. And they cried, they were cut to the heart with a response, a godly response. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. He says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. They did not have the sorrow of the world. Sorrow of the world is you're sorry you got caught. The sorrow of the world is, I got nailed red-handed in whatever it was. Not I'm sorry for my actions. I'm sorry somebody found out about it. I'm sorry that the police caught up to me. I'm sorry that my wife found out. I'm sorry that my child had to face something because of it. The sorrow from God leads to repentance and salvation. In Acts 7:4, this week, take a few moments and read Acts 7. Stephen gives the same message, basically the same message Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Totally different results. The message Stephen delivered, the people reacted differently, and Stephen was killed because of it. Unlike on the day of Pentecost, the same message that Peter gave, they were cut to the heart and they had a change. The people with Stephen, they wound up stoning. It says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart also. Same message, same effects. They were cut to the heart. But instead of repenting, all it did was make them mad. Make them want to unleash and vent their anger on Stephen. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. And in verse 57, 58, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Same message, different response, different reaction. Both were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Peter and the apostles, they have been prepared for this moment personally by Jesus. Jesus for 3 years has been teaching them, preparing them, helping to mature them to lead the church. The church that Jesus died for, the church that was Jesus, that he paid for, bought and paid for, paid in full. They are now, the responsibility is on them. They were the ones addressing the crowd. They were the ones that have been prepared for this very moment. And they had the help of the Holy Spirit. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized the error of their ways. They didn't want to face the consequences. They realized what those consequences were. We don't want to suffer those consequences. They wanted to know, what shall we do? You tell us. I'll do anything. You tell us. They wanted to know. They needed to know. God has never required anything from his people, ever, that he didn't tell them. And Peter will tell them. The answer is in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, not you people, you guys are okay, or not you men, women, you're safe. Not those of you that came from out of town, you've got to get going. You're good, but the people who live here, you've got to do this. All of them. Amen. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The results. They found out what they needed, and they had the choice. We can do it or not do it. In verse 41 and 42, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
Amen.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Baptism was the beginning, not the end result. It wasn't safe at home because I was dunked. That was the beginning of their walk. And they continued steadfastly, not lukewarm, not mediocre. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And it wasn't their doctrine. All they were doing is what Jesus had told them. They weren't creating anything new. They were relating what Jesus and the Spirit had told them. And in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And how were they saved? By being baptized. I'm going to say the same message that Peter did. Jesus was the Son of God. He was the sacrifice for us. And I hope if you haven't been baptized, you're asking yourself that same question. What shall we do? You know the answer. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Not to join us. Not to get a baptismal certificate, but for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Lord, not us, the Lord will add you to His church. Amen. That He bought and paid for. It's not our church. It's His church. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you are a baptized believer in Christ, have put your Lord on in baptism, but you have sin in your life, repent. If it's a public sin, repent publicly. If it involves other people, if it's a public issue, repent publicly. If it's a private sin between you and God, I urge you to repent. Pray to God to forgiveness. Make that change and go on and eliminate that one thing or two things or ten that is keeping you from being pleasing in God's eyes. If you're searching for a home congregation, if you've tried some other congregations around the valley and would like to identify with us, to work with us, worship with us, please let that be known. Whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing. Daryl leads us in the invitation song.